Good morning, Lifebridge. How are y'all today? Good. You're like, I'm fine, thank you. Great. Well, go ahead and stand up, and we're going to worship the Lord together, all right? How sweet it is that we get to get together and do this every Sunday, whenever we want. Heaven thundered.
Heaven thundered, and the world was born. Life begins and ends in the dust you form. Faith commanded, and the mountains moved. Fear is losing ground to our hope in you. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing will be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing will be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing will be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Oh.
Amen, amen.
Good morning. My name is Jason Smith. I'm the Outreach and Youth Director here at Lifebridge, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you here this morning. Welcome. All right, praise God. New year, new adventures. I want to remind you that next Sunday, we are kicking off our new schedule. So we're going to be doing service at 9:30 in the morning, 11, and then we're doing a revive service at 6 o'clock that night. Amen. We're also moving our youth services to Sunday night. We're going to have Royal Rangers and Girls Ministries. So for all you that have kids from 7th grade all the way to 12th, I want to invite them to come to our youth group starting Sunday night at 6. I'll be kicking off with a message about faith, and I'm going to be teaching them how faith is blind. Yes, pun intended, I'll be sharing them with them my walk with Christ being blind. So it's going to be a powerful message. I really want your youth there. So if you have youth or know youth, could you please have them come on Sunday night? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you this morning, Father God, and give you all the praise and glory as we start a new year, Father God. We just want to invite you into this place today and ask that you open up all the hearts to your spirit, Father God, and open up the ears of their hearts so that they hear the word and it really touches them this morning, Father God, and it lifts them up and it helps them follow you this year, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul longs and even faints for you. For here my heart is satisfied within your presence. I sing beneath the shadow of your wings. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Thousands elsewhere.
Father God, we give you praise this morning. We thank you that you are worthy of our song. You are beyond worthy of all that we can offer, Jesus. You are the Holy One. You are the only one, Jesus. God, we lay down our idols before you today. Anything that we worship that is not you, we don't want any part of it. So God, we lay down anything, whether it's technology, family, relationships, work, God, things that we might think are good. Jesus, if we're worshiping them instead of you, they have no place. So God, we pray that you would make us aware of those things and help us to lay those before your throne, God. Because there's no one like you.
Well, the word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. The hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. Beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever. Yours is the glory, yours is the name.
Father, you are so good to us. Jesus, you love us and you protect us and you take care of us no matter what we do, no matter where we're going, Lord. Jesus, be with us now, God. Encounter us today in this service. If you need prayer today for any issue, if you are going through something and you want to get some help with that, in the back we have a prayer team that is wonderful. They're willing to meet with you. They want to pray with you, so I encourage you to take them up on that. Shadow. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
midst. We welcome you, God. We welcome you, God. Presence is here, God. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves a 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Thank you, God. Thank you that you're in our midst, that you're here, Jesus. God, prepare our hearts for what you have to speak to us today, God. Prepare our ears to hear, God, and our minds to be ready to take it in. Jesus, we love you so much. We praise you today, and we ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning, LifeBridge. Let's try that again. I think people are still half asleep. Good morning, LifeBridge. There we go. Okay. My name is Richard Avila. I'm one of the deacons here at LifeBridge Community Church. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you to church. We are in 2019, right? Then Back to the Future was like 2015, and they had flying cars and shoes that tied themselves. I think there are some already out there, but they're not cheap enough for me to buy yet. So I'm going to keep wearing Velcro until those come out. So don't make fun of my shoes, please. All right. If you're a guest, we also want to welcome you. We just are so glad that you chose to make 2019. There you come, check out our church, and we're so glad and honored to have you here. If you're a guest, could you do us a favor? Could you fill out this Connect card? It's in the seat back in front of you. And we'll just ask for a little bit of information, and there's a guest relations table in the back. And we have a gift as our way of saying thank you for joining our service today. Also, there is a prayer section in the back. If you didn't get a chance to go and get prayer, fill it out, and the staff actually prays for these every week. Don't take this lightly. A lot of times we see these, and we just skim over this. It's very powerful when somebody is praying over you. So if you're going through something, you want to celebrate something, fill these out. And a lot of times we read these, you feel what that person's going through. You sense what that person's going through, and we want to pray with you. We want to be with you. Also, we're going to transition to our time and tithes and offerings. But before we do that, we also want to encourage you, if you use social media in any which way or form, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, you know, a lot of us live and die by our phones, apparently. But we want to use it in a positive way. We want to show people that we started off the year 2019 in church. So go ahead and check in and do that. As we transition to our times of tithes and offerings, I want to share a quick story. This past month, I got to give out some raises for some of my employees because the minimum wage is going up for California. And so the nice thing was, about a month ago, I set out and kind of adjusted my pay rates of who I was going to give certain raises to. And there was one particular lady, I actually forgot how much I had, given her in my budget to give her a raise. And it turns out she actually got the biggest raise out of everybody. But the odd part was that I didn't realize I had gave her the biggest raise. But I figured, it's in the notes, I got to give it to her. So I was giving it to her, and as I was telling her that what her new raise was going to be, she just started bawling and crying because she said, "You don't know how much I need this right now." And some other people got some similar raises, and they just weren't as grateful. But it reminded me of when we tithe, when we give. You know, 1 Samuel reminds us that as humans, we see only what's visible, but the Lord sees the heart, right? And the Lord knew she needed that. The Lord had put it on my heart to give her that raise. I don't know why, but it's the same thing when we give here. It's not about how much you give. God sees your heart. He knows exactly where your heart is when you give. So don't be focused on it. Well, I don't give the most. As we say at this church, it's not about equal giving. It's about equal sacrifice. And so we just pray today as we receive these tithes and offerings that you be encouraged to know that the Lord sees your heart. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for each and every day you give us, God. Another chance to glorify you, Lord. And we just want to glorify you with this money that you've entrusted to us, Lord.
that we give this money with a cheerful heart, Lord, that you use it in a mighty way, God, to bring people hope and faith and love in Jesus Christ. And we're just so grateful, God, that we have the opportunity to give to back to you, God, what's rightfully yours. We just love you so much, God, and we pray for all the things that you're going to do with these monies, Lord. And we just pray for all the blessings to come. We pray, we thank you in advance. We just love you so much, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, while you guys are doing that, we have a bunch of events and things going on. Life groups are kicking off and a bunch of other things. One of the big events that we do every year is the Art of Marriage Seminar. So I just want to encourage you, if you haven't attended, or maybe you did attend, but you can always get something new and fresh out of a marriage seminar. So if you haven't done it yet, or maybe you're not married and you're planning to get married, or you're dating, this is also a very good for you as well to learn some tools. It's a great way to start 2019, guys. If you haven't thought of a Valentine's Day gift, well, here's make it easy for you. Very easy. Just buy a ticket to this event, and that'll have you covered. All right? So check out the trailer, and then check out right after that is what's happening here at LifeBridge Community Church.
I'm afraid we're going to have a generation of people who, at the end of their lives, look back at a fork in the road where they headed toward isolation and a loss of hope.
The last two generations of our family, there have been 25 marriages and 22 divorces.
And what does it do to children when they see the image of that being ripped apart?
What the cross promises of marriage is fresh starts and new beginnings.
Hi everyone, thank you for joining us. Here's what's going on at LifeBridge Community Church.
If you want to take your faith to the next level, join us Sunday, January 13th for our water baptism.
New year, new service times. As our church grows, we will be changing our service times starting Sunday, January 13th at 9:30 and 11 a.m. And we will also be adding on a third service at 6 p.m. This will be our revive service, so come join us. Let's all stay connected and grow spiritually together. Our Wednesday night services are changing to a life groups format, starting Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. As a church, we will be giving up one thing between January 13th and February 2nd as we have a 21-day prayer and fasting. For all this and more, join us at the Connection Center. Have a great day, LifeBridge.
Right. Well, as you can see, there's a ton of things going on. If you need more information, there's a connection center in the back, and they'll give you all the additional information you need about any one of those events. Unfortunately, our pastor, I remember a lot of you were here. If you were here last week, he shared that his mom has been diagnosed with cancer, and she's not doing very well. He was supposed to come back yesterday, but he's still in Chicago, so he's still out there. So, you know, our hearts are with him, and I just want you to keep him in prayer. Actually, God put it on my heart. If you see this Connect card, I actually want everybody to take this home with you today if you haven't already turned it in, and be praying over our pastor throughout the week. Take this as a reminder that we need to pray for him, and actually want to take a moment right now to actually pray for him. So would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God. We just want to lift up our brother. He's near and dear to our hearts, and he leads this church in such a powerful way, Lord, and I just... Right now, as he's going through a tough time, God, our hearts go out to him, Lord, and we just pray that you give him the understanding and the wisdom and the patience throughout this time. We just pray for a miracle, Lord. We just pray that you bless him in so many ways, God, and that at the end of the day, your will be done, Lord. And we just pray and we have faith in you, God. We don't know why these things happen, Lord, but we have trust in you. We have faith in you, God, that everything works for the better of those who trust in you, Lord. And so we're just so grateful for everything you do. And God, we just pray for him, God. We just pray that you get him here back safely, that everything gets taken care of in the right way, Lord, in the way that you would see fit. And we're just so grateful for him as a brother, as a pastor, as our leader. And we just love them dearly, Lord. We just pray for them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, unfortunately, he is not with us, but we do have the honor and privilege of another brother. So the great thing is when we gather as the body of Christ, we have other brothers and sisters that step up in times like this. And so we are part of the SoCal Assembly of God's network, and we are privileged today to have our brother Rudy Paniagua to come up here. So give him a LifeBridge welcome, Rudy.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. Good morning. How are you doing? Can you hear me? A little bit? How about now? Better? Yeah? 8 o'clock was, no, were we at 9 o'clock? 9 o'clock was happier than 11 o'clock. Usually it's the other way around. Usually you guys are more awake by this time. Hey, my name is Rudy Paniagua. Oh, at the first service they had it up there. There it is. That's my American name. I was actually born Rodolfo Estuardo Paniagua Barrera, but that was just too difficult for our American brothers and sisters to pronounce, so they just said Rudy. And so I became Rudy when I immigrated from Guatemala when I was 9 years old. I am the director of Hispanic Life within the SoCal Network with our superintendent, Pastor Rich Guerra. We have 478 churches, and out of those 478, 100 of them are Spanish-speaking. And so I get to, all the vision from our superintendent, I get to transfer it down to Spanish, to our Spanish-speaking churches. And so I got the opportunity to travel from San Diego to Fresno, visiting all our churches and everything. And so I'm just excited to be here with you all and excited about what God is doing. Man, the first service was great. Really, the Holy Spirit grabbed a hold of some hearts, and hopefully we can do the same here as well. One of the great things about God is that the Bible says that when two or three are gathered in his name, he is also there. And so it's not about us, it's not about what we do, but it's about what the Holy Spirit wants to do. We just got to be open and ready to receive. I just came with my wonderful wife here, Tanya. She is my suitable helper, lovely wife. I wouldn't be here without her. She's been really, really a blessing to my life. That's why God says it's not good for men to be alone. Do you know that? Because we mess everything up. We do. Man, I mean, we get into trouble like just, never mind. That's not the message today. We're not preaching on marriage today. But I'm going to be sharing about overcoming temptation. You know, one of the things that we did this year in my life, in my family life, was that we set some goals for ourselves for 2019. And one of the things that we did was the first day, January 1st, you know, we're all tired waking up and everything, and I said, we have an 11 and a 12-year-old at home, and I said, all right, kids, we're going to get SWOT analysis going. Yeah, and they said the same thing like you, like what? Like what's a SWOT analysis? Have you ever heard of a SWOT analysis? Raise your hand. So SWOT analysis is, the S is for your strengths, W, weaknesses, O is for opportunities, and the T is for threats. And so one of the things that we notice is that in 2019, we always say, Happy New Year. And some of the people are like, what's so happy about it? I'm still dealing with the bills I haven't paid from Christmas. I still deal with my spouse that we're still not getting along. And I still got other issues going on that it's not a new year. It may be a new year, but I still carry on the baggage and burden from 2018. Are you with me? Not here. Other churches, they do. But one of the things that we do, is that we just carry the burden. And so one of the things that we do is that in our house, we don't do resolutions. And I know some of you may have already made some resolutions, and that's good. But one of the things that we started doing, we walked away from or transitioned from resolutions to goals. And so one of the things that we started writing was the strengths of the family. Like, what are some strengths of our family? And then what are some weaknesses of our family? What are some opposition or opportunities for us to get better that cause opposition? And then some threats that if we don't, you know, there's threats here, we need to change. If not, we can get into a lot of trouble financially, family, and every relational and everything else. And so one of the things that we learned from that, it was that there were some spiritual and finances things that we needed to get a hold of. There were some threats that dealt with spirituality and financial responsibility. So those were the biggest two. And so one of the practices that my wife and I have set for many years now is that we go away the first weekend of January and a weekend in July. So January, we look back at 2018 and we look back at the analysis that we just come up with and some changes that we need to do. And then in July, because it's our anniversary, then we get that time together and we talk about what's going on, what's happening, what do I need to change, and everything else. That's not the only thing we do in our marriage. One of the things that we do is to overcome temptation is that every week, every other week, I get together with her, and I ask my kids, and I ask her three questions. I didn't tell this to the first service, so someone needs to hear this service. I asked them three questions. I said, how is dad doing? Or how is she calls me amor, so how is amor doing? What do I need to change? And what do I need to say sorry for? See, those are three questions because I come from a medical background before being a pastor. I used to be part of the cardiac team, children's and adults in Orange County. And so one of the things that I did was set the scope, you know. So I used those three questions to be my stethoscope to hear my kids and my wife's heart to see what I need to change. And I'd rather say sorry that week or the other week rather than them holding a grudge for months. Have you guys ever had it hold a grudge and no matter what the other spouse or whether friend or whatever, the other partner in that, it still doesn't matter because you're so angry at him or her that you don't even want to listen anymore. So I'd rather say sorry and start a new slate there rather than months from now. And so those are just practices that we have put in place and everything so that we can be together. So January, July, goals and driven and all that stuff. And then throughout the week, I ask those questions just so that I can hear their heart. And one of the things that, being from the medical background, one of the things that I love about church on Sundays and every time we get together is the community that we belong to. See, one of the things that I love about community is that we get to deal with people and do life with people that are broken and messed up. Amen? Who's perfect here? Raise your hand. Yeah. I won't even look over there at my wife because she'll tell me to put my hand down. But one of the things that we get to do, being in from a medical background, is that, have you guys ever been into the ER? How frustrating was that? How difficult was that? How burdensome was that? Thinking of all the money that you're going to have to pay because we don't have insurance. That's the same thing that we get to do with when every time we get to come here. I used to tell the churches that we pastor is that this is our waiting room for our spiritual ER. That means that every time we enter this room, this space, we need to come with a hunger and expectation. I need to get back there, right? Man, that nurse needs to come out and get me. Man, I need medication. I'm hurting. I need some help. But we don't come that way to church. You know how we come? Coffee was bitter today. That person must have been upset today. Oh, coffee was all right. I can't believe that brother and sister didn't even say hello to me. Worship, all right. Could have done better. I love that song they did last Sunday. And we come with an expectation of criticism and serve me rather than a attitude and a, man, I'm hungry. I'm in pain. I can't deal with this anymore. Man, that pastor, I prayed for him all week because that preacher needs to tell me that message that I need to hear today. Man, you know what? I'm not even going to wait for the worship leader to tell me to raise my hands. I'm going to do it anyway because I'm doing it for the audience of one, the one that's sitting on the throne. Sometimes we cheer more for our NFL and college football teams than we do to the one who died and made us in mother's womb. Sometimes we don't even get to worship because we're so focused on what's going on around us rather than focusing on the one that made us and the one that wants to get our attention. So I tell you and I encourage you, I'm only here for one day. But man, next time you come to this place and this gathering place, you better come with that hunger and that pain and that eagerness to get to the back to see that doctor, because you need that medication and that prescription to get you over that hump. And if you don't come like that, every Sunday you're going to miss your message and the word that God has for you, because you're going to be so focused on what's going on around rather than focusing on what you need to get fixed. And many times, especially today's, our young people were looking for that quick fix. That quick fix. And that's why many people are dying. They're ODing because they're looking for that quick fix rather than working on themselves. And so today, what I want to share with you is something that came out of our SWOT analysis with our family. Since our spiritual life was kind of needing some help and that was a threat, we decided that we were going to buy devotionals for all four of us. And because of our schedule was kind of messed up and all over the place, there was going to be a time where we would have to do our own devotional. And then at night when we prayed, we would talk about the devotional and see what God was doing in the midst of us and in the family. And so one of the things that we did was that we said, you know, we're going to start in Matthew. So Matthew chapter 1 was done in January 1st. Matthew chapter 2 was done January 2nd. Matthew chapter 3, January 3rd. Matthew chapter 4. So that's how we started. So then we get together and the kids read and we write questions and everything. And so when I got the text from our superintendent that Pastor Kevin wasn't going to be here and that we were available, it was our getaway and it was our time together. And the first thing that I do was, because it's you know, the wife, that's her time, that's the time with me and everything, I showed her the text and I said, look, what do you think? And she said, you know, we need to do what God's will is and we need to be obedient to that. So let them know that we'll be there this Sunday. So we actually just came from our getaway over here, and luckily we lived away closely to the place so that I can get some clothes so that I can be here with you, and I don't come with my flip-flops and t-shirt and a shorts to come share with you today. But one of the things that we did was in our devotional in Matthew chapter 4 was that we saw how Jesus overcame temptation. And listen to some of the 2019 resolutions. In 2019, researchers say that about 60% of us make New Year's resolution. 60%. And only 8% are successful in achieving them. Think about that. 60% of us make New Year's resolution, but only 8 of us are able to achieve them. But here are some of the top 10 things. 71%, they made a resolution for dieting or eating healthier. 65%, exercise more. 54%, lose weight. 32%, save more and spend less. That was one of my goals. 26%, learn a new skill or hobby. 21%, quit smoking. 17%, read more. 16%, find another job. Number 9, 15%, drink less alcohol. And number 10, 13%, spend more time with family and friends. What was crazy to me, that number 10 was to spend more time with family and friends. That's crazy, right? Like, wouldn't you want to spend more time with family and friends? Don't answer that, because I don't know your family and friends. But, I mean, that was crazy to me that was number 10. And then I started thinking and I started going over the devo that we were doing on Matthew 4. And one of the things that God brought to my attention was that we are in a spiritual warfare going on when we make resolutions. We've actually just made the devil know what our desires are. And so now he's going to come at us at 100 miles per hour to make sure that we don't complete that. Because the Bible says in the first part of 1 John chapter 10, 10a, it says that the enemy came to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And so that means that once I declare what my dreams are, declare my resolution, my goals, what I just did was I invited him to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And that's why, according to U.S. News, approximately 80% of resolutions fail by the second week of February. So the odds are against us if you made resolutions or goals. 20% of people are accomplishing and being successful in their resolutions and goals. Wouldn't you like to be that part of 20%? Or wouldn't you like to be part of the side that is getting that 20% higher than and bringing that 80% down? Well, that's why I want to help you today. I want to give you a perspective, and I want to give you a prescription, and I want to give you and help you to really understand what's going on in our lives today. So you can open up your Bible apps. You can open up your Bible. And I'm really impressed. I sent my PowerPoint Friday night, and I saw the notes here, and they already have my notes for you here. So you can either follow me on the PowerPoint, or you can follow me in the back of this notes here. But bring your pen and paper. Another thing that I used to tell the people where we pastored is, man, you gotta come to church with a pen and paper. This is not a show. This is not something that, you know, but this is where you can come and learn and write what God is telling you. So if you don't have a pen, open up your note app on your phone or iPad and start typing your notes of what God is going to put in your spirit right now. So look at what Matthew 4, 1 through 11 says. And I want you to pay attention to what God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is going through. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Now, I want to stop there, because in our church community and in some of our traditional and theological perspective and religiosity, we've always said that if you were going through something, it was because you must have been in sin. Or you had a door open, that which it does happen. But I want you to understand that that's not the only way that you get to be tempted. Another way is that the Spirit is going to lead you so that you can see where you're at with your faith and your walk with God. And it's interesting to me that the Spirit is leading him into this wilderness right after he was baptized, right after he made the world know who he is. Because remember, what does God say when Jesus gets out of the water? This is my Son, of whom I am well pleased. So there is already an identity that's given into him. The world already knows, just like how you declare your resolution and your goals. We know now. So guess what? There's a target on your back. And we're coming after you. And look at what else it says. It says, by the devil, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. I want to make another pause there. You got to see that the devil, the tempter, didn't come in within those 40 days. When did he come? After. Why? Because that's when he was feeling the weakest. That's when he started feeling the hungry. That's when he started feeling the hunger and got and became hungry. So the devil is going to come at you when you're at your weakest point. That's why you got to get rest. That's why you can't be making decisions when you're upset at your spouse. That's why you can't be, you know, spending money just because you're upset. You got to be careful, because when you are at your weakest, that's when the devil's going to come and put doubts in you. He doesn't really love you. She doesn't love you. Oh, man, you can afford that. You deserve that. You know what? You need that. So be careful, because now you're facing, you allow God and everyone and announce your resolutions. Now you're being in this gray area where temptation is going to come, and some of us don't make it out of there to fulfill the calling. That's why 80% of us fail. Are you with me? Because we are not able to withstand that weakest point in that temptation when the tempter comes and get over that hump to make it through. And so then Jesus now is saying, look at what Jesus answered in verse 4. It is written, man should not live on bread alone, but in every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand in the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. I need to pause again. Here is the devil reciting scripture. You know, I get to travel churches and meet with people and I church planters and everything else. And what amazes me here is the devil knows more scripture than some of our Christians. Most of us don't even know where that verse comes out of. Most of us don't even know and memorize some of our verses. But here we have Satan tempting Jesus with scripture. And one of my devotions questions was, God, how is it that the devil knows scripture? Like, how did he learn that? How did he memorize that? How did he know to tempt Jesus in that area with that verse? Does he read? Did he listen to it somewhere? Like, when we are talking, is he listening to our conversations? Like, where did this come from? And so I wrote that question in my devo, and I'm waiting for God to answer me. And I'm not gonna not believe in God anymore. I just want him to bring clarity to this conversation and these things that I'm reading in the scriptures and what's coming alive to me here. Because man, I wanna understand Satan. He's my enemy. I wanna understand how he gets his tools to come at me. I want to be woke, like the kids say today. You know what I mean? You get me? I want to be woke. I want to see. I want to hear. I want to be able to understand what's happening. And then listen to this. Verse 7 says, Jesus answered him, it is also written. Like he's like, oh, you're going to come at me this way? Let me tell you. It is also written. Do not put the Lord your God unto test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and angels came and attended him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this blessing that you have us here in this room, Father God. Gather with our brokenness, with our sin, even broken relationships, even things that we are dealing within. You are still creating a space for us and still wanting to embrace us and still wanting the best of us because that's the Father that you are with us. And so, Father God, I just ask that your Holy Spirit speak into your people, speak into their lives, speak into their dreams, speak into their visions so that they can make the changes and transitions so that they can come out of this space that you have them in where they're going to be tempted, where they're going to, the devil's going to come at them, but that they can come out of it with a purpose, fulfilling their calling upon their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. One of the things that I love to travel with my wife is because she keeps me in track. I usually speak at Spanish churches, and our services are 3-hour, very Pentecostal services. So every time that I'm going over, she says, land the plane, or she'll say, amen, just so that she tells me to move on. So don't pay attention to her that way. If you see her screaming or doing something, it's just because she's trying to keep me on task here. But I really want you to understand what the devil's tricks is going to be for you in the beginning of 2019. Maybe some of you already missed the mark. Maybe you already gave in to your resolution. Maybe you already drank the soda. Maybe you already drank or ate something that you shouldn't have had. Maybe you said you were going to start something and you haven't started it. But here's the thing, that with God you can restart. That with God there's always hope and there's always a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh opportunity. And this is what I want you to understand. Look at the first temptation of Satan to Jesus. It's in Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. He there is attempting to tempt him with the flesh, with food. What does he ask him? He says, you want some food. See, Satan knows that there's fleshly desires that we have in us. Satan knows that he was hungry, so that we're going to feed his fleshly desire. Now, you have to understand that you also and I also have fleshly desires. There's things in us that would rather go to the flesh rather than the spirit. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, man, there's something that happens. I want to do good, but I always have this flesh that I have to deal with. And so Jesus, the same thing. Jesus is saying, man, I'm hungry, or I want that car. I want that job. I want that salary. I want that raise. I want. And that is what Satan is going to come at you with, your wants, your fleshly desire, the things that maybe you shouldn't have because you're not ready for, the things that you want but they're going to take you away from him. Maybe you've been praying for a job and it's going to take you away from Sundays. Maybe you've been praying for a job and it's going to take you away from your Bible study or your small group. Is that really what's going to keep you rooted moving forward into what God has for you? See, he knows all things, but so does the devil. And the devil is an imitator of Jesus. He wants to be Jesus. He will never be Jesus, but if Jesus does this, he wants to duplicate that, right? Don't you read the Bible? He wants to imitate everything that Jesus does. And so it's interesting, and you got to be careful that you are paying attention to your fleshly desires. Jesus responds with scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. That should go on your notes. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 says, man shall not live by bread alone. You have to understand that there's more to life than just fulfilling your physical needs. That iPhone that you've always wanted. The Jordans that you want. The car. Whatever fleshly desire, whatever materialistic stuff that you need, you got to be careful with, because that's what the devil's going to come at you. But it's not by bread alone. It is not just by our fleshly desires. How many of us really made some resolutions with food this year? Don't raise your hand. But if we already know that number one is dieting and healthier, guess what the devil's going to do? You're going to go to your office tomorrow, and guess who's going to bring food? And cake, and pastries, and guess what you're going to be tempted with, right? Or your neighbor's going to say, look, I got a new car, and you've been wanting a new car, and guess what's going to happen? Hun, I told you I needed that car, and look at the neighbor got it. And guess what's going to happen? Because we're focusing on our fleshly desires, and that's what the devil's going to try to tempt you and come at you. The second one is in verses 5 through 7. Satan appeals to the pride of the human and says, take your life. Again, challenging Jesus' identity, Satan sets Jesus on the pinnacle of the temple and tells him to throw yourself down. And this is the verse that Satan quotes there. It's in Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12. And Jesus responds with scripture as well, Deuteronomy 6:16. You should not tempt the Lord your God. You should not tempt the Lord your God. How many of us tempt God? Don't raise your hand. Man, there's many things. God, if you give me this, I'll do this. And we never do. God, you know my heart. You know. You know how good I've been. And we start playing this game with God when we know that we're going to lose anyway. Because he won't give us anything that we can't sustain and won't be able to and bring us death or ruin us. He just won't give it to us. And so here we see that the devil is questioning Jesus' identity. You know, one of the things that I learned this weekend is that one of the things that we did was Friday night, we attended a marriage conference that dealt with finances and love. And one of the things that I found out that as an immigrant, my identity, I had an underlying issue that I needed to take care of. Because this is how bad I am with finances. I get an allowance from my wife. Yeah. I'm not ashamed of it. I need to improve, but I'm not ashamed of it. But here's the thing. So in 2018, one of the things that we needed to change because it was a threat was our finances. So the first thing that we did was went to a marriage conference that had to deal with finances. And one of the things that I learned in that conference was that there was an underlying issue that I would spend so much, why I would spend so much money. And the underlying issue was because I was an immigrant. And so as a Hispanic immigrant, I didn't want people to see me as a Hispanic immigrant. I wanted people to see me as an American or someone that I've already made it and accomplished the American dream. So I would invest in Rolexes and Ralph Lauren and everything that was brand name because I wanted people not to see me as a Hispanic immigrant, but someone that was already successful. So one of the things that I needed to heal for 2019 so that I can overcome this hump and this temptation for 2019 of spending money on clothes or an identity trying to hide my Hispanic heritage was that I needed to just accept me for who I am. With the brand names or not brand names. So one of the things that I need to do for 2019 and one of my goals is not to go and try to buy stuff so that I can be somebody else, but just accept me for being an immigrant. And that's where I come from. And that's who I am. Whether you like my accent or not, whether I dress like this or not, whether I wear a jacket or not, whatever it is, that underlying issue was helping me to grow in my finances in my previous years because I've always missed the mark. So for 2019, if I want to come away from this and I want to overcome this, I need to be okay with seeing in the mirror myself and saying, you know what, I'm Hispanic, I'm an immigrant, and I may not have the Jordans, I might not have the suits, I may not have the Rolex, I might not have everything, but I need to love me for who I am because if I don't, then I'm always going to be in debt. Because I'll always try to be like the group of friends that I hang out with rather than just accepting me for who I am. And going back, even as a young man and growing up in high school, I would get my parents into debt just so that I can pretend an image that would take me away from being an immigrant. That's how bad it goes. That's how my underlying issue, that's how far my underlying issue of finances goes. My parents are still paying some of my debt from high school because of clothes. Because I had the shoes, I had the clothes and everything. So you got to be careful with your identity. Try not to be something that you're not. Your resolution should be your own resolution, not because everyone else is doing it. If you want to lose weight, it has to be because you want to do it for your health, not because you want to look skinny for somebody else. It won't work. You're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for somebody else. And that moment that that person doesn't see it or doesn't appreciate it, guess what's going to happen? You're going to fall back into it because why do I do it? Because he doesn't even appreciate it. I don't even know why I kill myself trying to do this for him or her when he doesn't even pay attention. Identity is so huge, especially as a Christian. That's why the devil comes and tries to steal. Look, if you really were a daughter of God, you wouldn't be doing this. If you were really a son of God, you wouldn't be watching this. Look, you're such a hypocrite. You go to church on Sundays, but Monday, look at what you're doing. And so he's questioning our identity because that what he wants us is to stop in our tracks and stop believing who we really are. And so he's trying to put doubt into us that God doesn't love us the way we are. When God loves us the way you are.
I remember Adam and Eve in Genesis. They already had sin. They were in sin. They allowed sin to come into this perfect world, but God was still pursuing them. And even asks them, why are you hiding? He already knew. But even though he knew that they were in sin, and even though they knew what they had done, he still pursued them. And you see that over and over and over in the scriptures, that no matter what messed up, how broken, what you're dealing with, what you did today before coming in, and what you're thinking right now, he still loves you and he still wants to pursue you. Because that's who you are. Because you're a child of God. Look at number three. The third temptation, verses 8 through 10. Satan appeals to the lust of who you are, who are you worshiping? Taking Jesus to the high mountain and showing him the kingdoms of the world, offering to give Jesus all the kingdoms if he will worship Satan. And Jesus again responds to the scripture in Deuteronomy 6:13. It says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Now, it's interesting to me, if you go back and read that verse, that's the only time that Jesus tells them, away from me, Satan. Jesus was okay that he was being tempted with his fleshly desires. Jesus was even okay with Satan tempting his identity. It's like, all right, I can deal with this. But the moment that Satan said, I can give you this, but you have to worship me, what did he say? Away from me, Satan. But unfortunately, us, we have so many things that we are worshiping without even knowing. We get into debt to worship, to be like somebody else. We get into buying stuff. We get into our things in our phones that controls us. We worship sports. We worship other things. And we put other things before God. And we bow down to them. Without even physically doing it, with our hearts, we're bowing down to them. And what happens is that we are now worshiping something else rather than the one true God. And you got to be careful. You know, it's unfortunate that in my phone, I have to get a report every week from my Apple phone that says how much screen time I've been in my phone. It's so sad that it's gotten to the point where now my phone is telling me how much time I'm spending with them. How sad is that? And then when I'm 17% down for that week, I share that with my, look, hon. But then the following week when I'm 25% up, I'm like, oh, God. I keep that to myself. And I have to deal with that. Right? There's so many things that we worship down to. Even our own kids, as parents. We make them our God. Our spouses. Our careers, our finances, we worship down to them and make them our God. And Satan here is telling him, I'll give you all this. But you know what's interesting about Jesus is that Jesus knew his identity, so he knew that he was going to get that anyway. It was just going to be done a different way. It was going to be done through sacrifice. It was going to be done through obedience. It was going to be done through the cross or Calvary. So Jesus says, you know what? I can have it your way or I can have it my Father's way. And I'll choose to have it my Father's way. Unfortunately, we have so many young people that are looking for that quick fix that they just want it now and now and now and today. Our millennials, we're losing our millennials. Because our millennials want the change right away. And it doesn't work that way. Why does church have to be this way? Why do I have to do this? Why, you know, that's why they graduate college and they want to come back home. That's why young adults are not buying homes anymore, because they don't want the responsibility. They want things, but they're not willing to work for them. They want to be catered to, but they don't want to go through the process. They want to be served, but they don't want to respect and honor. You have to be careful with that. Because the moment that we start going for the quick fix, the moment that we start going for the easy thing, it's not of God. I'll tell you right now, it's not of God. There has to be a price to be paid. There has to be some type of sacrifice to be able to make things happen. Got to be careful. Our millennials are looking for answers. Our millennials are looking for identity. They have a lot of questions. And most of the times when they have questions, because we don't study the Bible as parents and because we don't really have community around us, what we do is that we send them to the pastor. And we say, oh, go talk to the pastor. Go talk to the youth pastor. Go. And we never accompany, them, or we never journey with them. And we just send them out. And what happens is that when we send them out by themselves, we're allowing someone's voice to be over them. You get me? You got to be careful with that. If you don't know something, ask Lexa, what does the Bible say about this? Google it. But do something. Don't just send your kids over to somebody else. Say, you know what? That's a great question. I never thought about that. Let's look it over. Parents always fighting about tattoos and earrings and long hair and everything else. What does the Bible say about that? Learn together. Make decisions together as a family with your values of a family, with the identity that you guys have. Don't allow someone's voice to go over your authority and leadership on them and your influence. Learn together, grow together. You know those questions I show them to my kids, and I said, you know what? I have questions too. I don't know it all. Man, I went to seminary and taking class. I don't know it all. But you know what? The Bible says that it's by faith. And I just got to trust. And I just got to obey. And the same questions you have, I may have. Or you know what? I thought that question, and now here's the answer. But what's happening is that we've allowed our kids to be raised by somebody else rather than us. And that's why someone else has given them an identity that they don't look like our identity. My mom and dad always said, man, when you leave the house, your identity comes with us, with who we are, not from somebody else. Every time that was driven to me, that I had an identity, and it came from family values and from who I was with God, walking with him. And that's what Jesus was saying here. He's like, you know what? Away from me, Satan, because I am not going to worship you. I'm going to start getting to close. Application from temptation of Jesus. Look, you have to understand that we have the same adversary. Jesus' enemy is our enemy. He is not good-looking devil. He is not the nice devil. He's a liar. He's ugly. He's got power. And don't believe the media and don't believe the shows that make him portray like he's a good guy. That lies that even tell you that the devil is not, it's a lie. That he's not even a true being. No, let me tell you, he is real. He is a true spiritual being. He does have influence, but no authority and no power. You got to be careful in how you let him in into your mind and into your heart. Because he is our enemy. He's not nice. He came after Jesus, and as followers of Christ, he's coming after us. Look at what Ephesians 6:12 says. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You have to understand that your struggles and battles are not against your spouse, against the LGBT community, against the poor community, against Trump, against politicians. That's not our battle. Our battle is with spiritual forces. It's not even against your mother-in-law. Sometimes the devil wants, no, I'm just kidding. There's spiritual forces. There's a spiritual warfare going on that are fighting for us. Think about it. But the problem is that we don't get to see that and we don't pay attention to it because we're so focused on our iPhones like this. Our electronics like this. Our PlayStation like this. Our Xbox like this. We're so focused on the things that don't matter and we don't get to see that there's a spiritual force that is fighting for me to go to hell. To make bad decisions. To pay my consequences. I always tell my kids and I tell pastors and I tell this to my church members, you're free to make decisions, but you're not free to choose your consequences. You don't want to come to church? That's your decision. Are you ready to choose the consequences of not coming to church, of not being in the body of Christ, of not being a follower of Christ? Are you ready to live the world that the world offers, the life that the world offers? I've been there. I don't want to go back to it. So sometimes we get caught speeding, sometimes we don't. We don't get to choose our consequences. We don't get to choose when we get caught. I tell my kids all the time, I says, you know, you got to be careful because you're a child and a daughter of God. You're always going to get caught. Why do my friends get away with it? Because they're not a threat to the enemy. Because that's part of their team. Why do I have to do this? There's different standards. You have a different father. You know what my daughter says, 11-year-old? She says, I can't wait to die and meet my real father. Because they know that I'm just here to help them and empower them and encourage them and to fulfill what God has called them to. But my father is God. They just let me borrow them. They don't belong to me. God can take them anytime, anywhere, anyway. And you know what? I have to give it to them. Even if they get sick, I have to trust that he knows. He's our father. He knows. You know, when every time I leave the house, you know what I tell them? I'll see you later, and their response is, or in heaven. Because I want them to know that if I don't come back, I want to see them in heaven. And that means that they got to make decisions that are going to lead them there and not to the world and not to give in to the spiritual realm that are fighting for our souls. Because the battle is true. The enemy is not going down fighting. He won't go down until you go down. And heaven and hell is real. And we don't preach that a lot from the pulpits. We don't talk about hell enough. We don't talk about heaven enough. But the struggle and the fight is real. And if you're a young man and young woman here today that has decisions to be made and friends that you need to choose, you better choose wisely. Because the consequences, they'll come your way. They'll come your way. We also have the similar temptations. He had to deal with the lust of the flesh, physical flesh, the bread, the lust of the eyes, the materialism, the pride of life. He had to choose life, not death. Many of our young men and women are choosing death over life. It's sad to turn on the news and seeing people taking their lives, pastors taking their lives. Because they haven't understood the spiritual battle that's going on. And then thirdly, we have the same tools to overcome. Jesus appealed to the word of God, and so can we. Jesus had faith in the plan of God. You got to have faith in the plan that God has for you. It may not look the same as your neighbor. It may not look the same as the person that you're serving with. It may not be the same as the leader that you're following. But God has a plan for you that is different than anyone else's. You got to stick with that. You got to believe that. There's a reason why you're here. You know, with my 12-year-old, when Tanya became pregnant with my 12-year-old, they told us that he was going to have Down syndrome. And they asked us if we wanted to abort him. Now, my walk of faith with God was new. I was a fairly new Christian. I really, really didn't understand all the spiritual realm and everything else. But one of the things that I knew that if God gave us the son that way, he was going to give us the tools to help us to raise this kid. And then we came back and we said, you know what, we're going to keep the baby. We're trusting in God. And they said, okay, well, then we'll do another test just to confirm. They did the test. They called us a few days later, and they said, oh, you know what? It was a false positive. That 12-year-old now is thriving, influence, preacher, leading his generation, got baptized in the Holy Spirit last year in our Hispanic, in our youth camp with the network. I mean, imagine if we wouldn't understood God's plan for our lives. We would have said yes, because it was going to be a burden to us, because it was going to be a life change to us, rather than understanding and trusting God that he had a plan for us. Got to be careful with the choices that you're making. Got to be careful with how you're spending money, how you're choosing friends, and how you're choosing jobs. Because if they're not aligning to God's plan for your life, what's going to happen is that you're still going to have to pay for those broken dishes, because the consequences will be there. Because the Bible says that sooner or later, the truth comes out. Stand with me. Let me conclude. I know you guys are getting tired and my wife is texting me. I got to finish. And I know you guys are getting hungry. But here's what I want to conclude. The second part of John 10:10 says, but that he has come, so what? To give us life abundantly. Right? It should be up there. Right? I have come that they might have life and that they may have it abundantly. And many, for some of you here, you have settled for just the life that you have. You've settled living paycheck to paycheck. You've settled just with whatever God has given you, and you're not living and have a goal for the abundance that God has promised you. And maybe you have given some dreams away, and maybe he hasn't been able to answer that prayer that you've been praying for so many years and months, because you haven't been where he needs you. Because you haven't been in the right heart and in the right mindset. Now check this out. Like I told you in the beginning, the temptation came after he was baptized and he received his identity. Your temptation is going to come because now you made a resolution and you have some goals for your life. You're trying to get an identity. You're starting over. You're starting new. So here's an identity that you want to now live out to. And the other part was that now Jesus was going to come and start his ministry. Because if you continue reading the verse 12 and 13, he says that after he had overcome this temptation, he went out and he started calling his disciples to follow him. Now that's important for you to understand. Because now that you made resolutions and you're trying to get a new identity and you're trying to create new habits, the temptation is going to come, and the abundant life is going to come if you only overcome it. That you're able to fulfill the ministry that God has for you. Maybe it's to be a better mom. Maybe it's to be a better dad. Maybe it's to be a better servant. Whatever it is, whatever the ministry, whatever God already has promised you, is coming if you overcome these new habits, these temptations. Now the question for you today is, are you willing to follow? See, I tell my daughters, we have two daughters. The oldest is 22 now, and she's a nurse in Chicago. Went to University of Michigan to be an RN. We have an 11-year-old at home, and I tell them that the worst thing that they can do is to marry a Christian man. The best thing that they can do is to marry a godly man. Two different things. We don't need no more Christians. We don't need no more Christians. You know what we need? Disciples. You know what we need? Godly men. You know what we need? Godly women. You know what we need? Someone that are committed to this thing called life with Christ. That's what we're looking for. And that's what Jesus is looking for. because there is an abundant life that God has commanded you and wants for you, but he wants to create capacity. He wants to create and he wants to trust you with what he wants to give you. So my call to the altar today is not to manipulate you. It's not to make you come over here, because I don't do that. This is a personal thing between you and God. But if you are really ready to follow him, and you are ready to the blessing and the abundant life that God has given you, and you're ready to make those changes, and you're ready to go into this battle in this gray area between January to December and have it out, then I want to pray for you, and my wife wants to pray for you. Because I know it won't be easy. One of the things that I admired about Pastor Kevin and what he's going through is that he was diligent in having someone to come and speak to you and prepare everything for you so that you can continue to be fed. That you can continue to grow and be challenged to grow. But one of the things that I appreciate from Richard was that he asked us to pray for him. But here's the thing about us Christians. We tell people that we're going to pray, but then we forget. Because life gets in the way. But I love a story from the Bible that there were some men that took it upon themselves to carry a person that was paralyzed with his mat that even went down up the roof and came and brought him down and sat him with Jesus. Those men believed in that person's miracle. When you take that flyer or that note home today to pray for his family, can you believe for his miracle as well? Just don't pray, but believe in his miracle. Believe that God will do whatever God needs to do and his will be done. And pray that way. Believe. Wouldn't you like someone to pray and believing for your miracle as well? I love that in the back they have prayer. You know, I get to travel so many places and I get to see different things and the Holy Spirit working where you guys just see this. I get to see the whole kingdom and how the Holy Spirit works. And let me tell you that that is a great thing that they are doing for you in providing prayer. Get connected. Get plugged in with all the events. Those are good for you. Don't do life just to do life, but enjoy life while you do it. So believe. I met Pastor Kevin in different network conferences and different events at the office. And one of the things, I follow him on Facebook, and I've got to see his daughters and everything. But one of the things that as I was in his office and I met his daughter, the Spirit quickened my spirit. And it was like, who's caring for them as he is out? So one thing is praying, one thing is believing, but how well are we caring for one another? Wouldn't you like to be cared for when you're going through something? So can you not just pray, but can you believe God for his miracle? But can you start caring for the daughters that are here as well? Can you not just say, hey, I'm praying for you, but can you just hug them and bless them and tell them that you're there for them and whatever they need, they can contact you? Wouldn't you like that for yourself? How about if you start creating that culture here at this church? What if LifeBridge Community Church gets to get to know in the community for people that believe in their prayers, in their miracle for you, and that they care for you? Wouldn't that be great? You only can do that if you follow Jesus. Can't do it any other way, because your pride would get in the way. Well, they never did that for me. Well, they don't even call me. But what if you just start a new life today? What if you just start something new today? So as they lead us in worship, the altar is open. Tanya and I want to pray for you, strengthen you, bless you, and encourage you in this time.
I heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard a tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. So perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love. Love. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. Who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Oh.
God, we just come before you today, and we thank you for this time together, God. Thank you for meeting us here, Jesus. Lord, I just pray, Lord, for everyone here today, God, as they continue on in the year of 2019, God, for the changes that they want to make, for the goals they want to set, for the lifestyles that they want to change in their life, God. I just pray, Lord, that you give us wisdom, God, and just continue to draw us near to you, God. Would you be glorified in our lives, God, in this new coming year, God? We just thank you, Jesus. We thank you for being with us. In your name we pray. Amen. The altar is going to continue to be opened today. But we just want to thank you for being with us today, and we want to remind you to join us next week as our time changes for 9:30 and 11 a.m., and we kick off the new year with a new service at 6 p.m. on Sunday evenings, our Revive service. Have a great day, LifeBridge.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. Who I am. Oh. Oh, we come before you, God. So good, so good to us. Oh, you're perfect, God. You're perfect, God, so perfect, God. Care for us, care for us. All you do is love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are. And I'm loved by you, it's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. God, you won't leave us. You never fail us. Mercy upon us. It's good. It's good. God, you won't leave us. You never fail us. Mercy upon us. It's good, it's good. Holy Spirit, we come. Ask you now for your love, your presence with us. Sing to you a new song. Up our hands, and we claim every promise that you've made us, every single promise that you've made.